Welcome to the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast, taking you around the country, shedding light on the work of the Scottish FA from grassroots to coach development, and taking a look at the future of our game.
On this episode, host Lewis Irons is joined by Head of Coach Education and Development, Greg Patterson, and National Goalkeeping Coach, Fraser Stewart.
Greg, Fraser, as we continue looking into the coaching restructure for 2020, we cannot forget about goalkeeping.
Absolutely not.
This merits a podcast in itself, which is why we've got Fraser Stewart sitting down with us, returning to the podcast. Greg, let's get into it. Goalkeeping, it is an important one to touch on first.
Absolutely. It's a very important one, and UEFA have maybe recognised just how important that goalkeeping pathway is for coaches recently as well. They've kind of put criteria together for a UEFA goalkeeping B licence, which we'll probably touch on at some point during this podcast, as well as the UEFA goalkeeping A licence, which has been about for quite some time now. So yes, it's goalie coaches, and through the kind of good work that Fraser and previously his dad have done, it's been a kind of area that's growing. I just get that sense that it's growing. Numbers are on courses are growing. The goalkeeping coach fraternity, if we can call them that, are certainly more enthusiastic to do more education, I suppose, and learn more and continue up that pathway.
The goalkeeping fraternity, a unique bunch, isn't it, Greg?
Everywhere we go, you use that word.
Before we get into the courses themselves, Fraser, yep, you're the man to explain to us and really dive into what the key qualities are of a goalkeeping coach.
I think the biggest quality is the knowledge that you bank up, whether it's through playing experience or whatever means you've gained that knowledge, is how do you take that knowledge and pass it on to the goalkeepers you're working with? How do you make them better in the sessions that you do? I'm a big believer that anybody can put on a training session. How do you coach them? What relevant information at the right times can you pass over? And whether that's working with the top senior goalkeepers, how do you keep them hungry? How do you keep them ready and prepare them to the youngest of? How do you pass on knowledge and expertise? And they're the main qualities for me.
Yeah, we can talk to Fraser about the details of the goalkeeping. Greg, from your side, when we look at the coaching pathway as a whole, I guess the best place to start is introduction to coaching, and
it's
how important a role that plays.
The best place to start is probably the only place to start for many of those coaches. So of course, you know, if you're starting from scratch and you fancy being a goalkeeper coach, then first thing to do is obviously register with Scottish FA Live and complete the online, free online children's wellbeing course. Thereafter, we'd hope to see these people on these kind of aspiring coaches, leaders. I kind of shy away from the word coach, because sometimes at that level of the game, they are just leaders. They are just facilitators in getting, I suppose, children, even in the grassroots game, it could be youths or adults. It's just that kind of grassroots game, getting people involved in football-related activity, if you like. So the level 1.1, or what we call now the introduction to coaching, is that first kind of face-to-face contact on our coach education pathway. And it really is about the how to coach. You know, we used to, throughout all our pathways, we've got four pathways. Goalkeeping's obviously one of them that we're here to chat about today. We've also got futsal, a children's pathway, and a youth and adult pathway. So if we kind of concentrate on goalkeeping, but across the four pathways that I've just mentioned there, we have the introduction to coaching. And that's the kind of first, as I say, face-to-face contact, a six-hour course for coaches to come along and learn really about the how to coach, how to grab the imagination of those 28-year-olds or 16-year-olds that might appear at your session on a Wednesday night. How do you set things up? How do you engage with them? How do you communicate properly with them? And also on that course, as we've introduced now, is a lot of, you know, chatting to other like-minded people at that stage in the pathway. What problems are they experiencing? How have they managed to overcome certain hurdles? Where are they at in their coach development? What club do they work at? So all that kind of whole gambit is in that 6 hours. And then thereafter, once they've got those kind of tools about, as Fraser just alluded to, maybe how to set up a session, how to, you know, and get things organised and get things up and running, then they go and be that little bit more goalkeeping specific. Yeah. Yeah. At the 1.2 level or the certificate level.
Yeah, because we could joke about, you know, goalkeepers, they're unique, aren't they? They can be. To be built from the same foundations, I feel like that introduction to coaching is key for goalkeepers.
I think it is, and I think Greg touched on it there. I think what helps in our side of it is you almost get the organisation things out the way, not out the way first, but they've looked at that first up, and then when they go on to that 1.2 on whatever pathway they're on, you can then start with the specifics of that area, whether it's youth and adults or the children's pathway, whatever pathway it is, for the first course within that or first level within that, you're hitting the specifics right away, so you're not maybe spending as much time on the organisation of a session or the how-to and the whys. You can then dive right into the specifics of what they're trying to get out of that day, which I think just buys a bit more time to speak freely and openly about goalkeeping, you know, if it's in the goalkeeping courses.
Yeah. From slightly removed position and not specifically into goalkeeping, Greg, do you see how the goalkeeping coach and particularly goalkeepers are developing with the game? I mean, the game is always evolving, hence this restructure, but particularly goalkeeping, how is it changing, do you
think? Yeah, but I'm fortunate in my role. I probably see that through working with Fraser and working with Jimmy's dad and working with Paul Mathers and working with Bobby Geddes and guys like that who deliver our goalkeeping courses. And it's the evolution of, I probably see more the evolution of coach education, goalkeeping coach education first, and then if I'm taking my two boys along to a game, which I did at the weekend there, you know, if I take them along to a Premiership game, for example, then I maybe see that coming to fruition through there. And we're very fortunate, obviously, to have Fraser's dad, Jim, you know, and, you know, I'm at the Hearts Rangers game there at the weekend, and, you know, there's Alan McGregor playing, who, you know, Jim's worked with for a bulk of his career. So I'm probably a little bit different in my role, that I see that evolution of kind of goalkeeping traits, if you like, through coach education first, and then during the game, whereas Fraser might see it differently through his work and performance. He might see it first and foremost on the performance side, on the playing side, and then try and implement that in coach education. So the two marry up, I think, quite well. Yeah.
How do you add to that, Fraser, in the sense that, you know, we've seen the role, you'll have seen it more than anyone, the role of a goalkeeper changing.
Yeah.
The course restructure, how does it kind of cater with the development of goalkeeping?
I think Greg kind of speaks about it there, but we being at the coal face in front of you in terms of the performance side, you see probably the level of games we're playing in those international games, you see everything in front of you in terms of what's new, what's current, what's happening, what's affecting them. And I think it's only right that then you take that, and then that has to come back into coach education and be shown as, here's what can cause your goalkeepers problems, here's what they're facing, here's what other countries are doing. You know, I think that's vital to when we go away in these trips with the squads, and we're so lucky that you spend time with other nations. What did yous do? And funny enough, you find the same problems occur. If I can jump ahead to it, I know we might catch and speak about it later. The UEFA Share event that we had, where we had loads of different nations, renowned for producing their own goalies, you know, Sweden, France, these places, but they've got the same issues we currently have here about not enough young ones playing, not playing senior football, how do you get around it? So there is, although all these other nations, people look at them, everybody's having the same issues at this current time. So I think it is important you take what you see and we bring it back to here and we discuss it with Greg and the other guys. And not only just for, I think, goalkeeping coaching, but I think there's also vital things that can be learned for the, you know, the input that we have in the children's licence, the youth licence, the A and B licences. I think are vital that we try and push certain things that are maybe happening in the continent there, or how we see things working, or how it can develop and help them as well. As you see, the goalkeeper is becoming more part of the team. So if it's things in build-up play or things defending, then it will impact upon an outfield coach and how they see things and what they do. So I think it is so important that what we see comes back and we have a discussion with the likes of Greg and Doogie, Richie, the guys that are on the licence, and where could we best implement what we've seen.
And I think we do a lot, we're quite good at it without kind of blowing our own trumpet at this point in time, but I think we're quite good at, as Fraser says, if he's away at a tournament, he comes back from that tour, I need to implement this in coach education. We're actually quite good, we've modernised our courses, or we're trying our best to modernise our courses to such an extent that we can quite quickly now change the resource that's on the course. So rather than, you know, the kind of old-fashioned approach of having 10,000 booklets printed and having to use those 10,000 booklets before we then produce another booklet, we can actually quite quickly change stuff or get footage now from UEFA, footage from our own international games, footage from, again, likes of Paul Mathers, who's currently working at St Johnstone. We can get footage from them that might help paint the pictures then for the coaches that we can then embed in our coach education programme.
That is probably one of the best tools we'll now use, you know, and I think that's one of the things we've discussed mostly at the UEFA level licences, where how can you paint that picture to them, what they're going to get. You know, you can stand up and tell them as much as you like, but there's I feel there's nothing better than actually seeing it in action and realising, right, that's what's now going to be asked of me here, that's the level. Yeah. And I think video is sometimes the best way to show that.
To be fair to the goalies, since I was here for goalies, it's, like, it's, you know, Dougie, who joined us, I think only a year ago now, Dougie's been in, he was, and Dougie's been along to the UEFA share that Fraser talked about, he was kind of blown away by the, how the goalkeeping coaches are willing to sit down and discuss video footage for that length of time. And it is a kind of trait you guys as goalies have had for quite a few years, and maybe the outfield coaches, to call them that, are maybe catching up in that, guys, because these guys are, I remember starting on, you know, the first UEFA goalkeeping A licence and working with, well, previously in Ireland, working with Alan Kelly, and then coming across and working with Jim and Fraser himself, that, you know, it was always, the GoPro always went up. The GoPro always went up at the back of the goal to analyse the session, whereas, again, the outfield coaches probably, you know, they didn't do that. You might have the odd guy standing outside with an iPhone but the goalkeeping coaches would always make a point to make sure that every session was always recorded.
Do you think there's a reason behind that, why it was more natural for the goalkeeping route to take that approach, perhaps?
I think when you speak about those qualities of a goalkeeping coach, I think it is because they're quite analytical. You know, they are, that's their job at the end of the day. They're very individual into what they're doing. You know, a coach, a manager has so many things on their plate to think about, whereas a goalkeeping coach generally has his core group of goalies to look after, and they are very specific in what they do. They do try and create that team within a team where they've got this close-knit group of players or goalkeepers, and I think it comes from that. I think there is I think especially in Scotland, we're very lucky that we have quite a unique kind of fraternity, as Greg calls it, cohort of coaches who they are all very open, and for the visits I've found around the clubs for part of my role, when you go around and speak to the clubs, and they are so open, they're willing to share, they're willing to talk, they've done it for years, and I do think it comes back to those traits and qualities of, I think goalkeepers are open and honest with each other when they're a goalies, because I think you need that. I think it's so important. So I think it just comes from that.
And that's, we're laughing about semantics and words, but that's why I call them a fraternity, because, you know, that when you go to a goalkeeping coach education course, they will sit and discuss and debate and be open, just exactly as Fraser's. And that's why I use the word fraternity. I don't think we quite get that, although we're trying our best now through this modernisation of courses as well to have those kind of more workshops and get people discussing and debating things. But as I say, I think the goalie coaches have probably been ahead in that, guys, and they will.
Leading again.
Leading the way. Talking about leading the way, let's look about what's coming up and what to expect, and what is a big year for goalkeeping and for coaching in general?
I think the main thing is, I think what people need to realise and what they need to look at is it's a refresh, but everything that's inbuilt into this is now about how we best prepare people for where we hopefully want them all to go. And I think when you look at people now and speak to people, they all see that UEFA qualification as the be all and end all, you need it, which is great, but you need to be prepared to do it, because it is a higher level licence. So what we've tried to do, as well as I think with the outfield guys and all their courses, is how do we best prepare them for that. And what we've done at levels 1.2 and 1.3 is basically that. We've basically took the UEFA A licence and we've watered it down each time. So from the UEFA A into the UEFA B, what best prepares them there to go to UEFA A, and then vice versa all the way down the pathway. And that's basically what we've tried to do, as well as keeping, you know, an eye on what level of coach would that be, what's their comms going to be. You know, Greg spoke earlier about they might just be the parent of a kid with not great knowledge and expertise, so how can you still make the course relevant to them? And that's what we've tried to do with it.
Yeah, and of course the other aspect to this is, Greg, while we can talk about specifically goalkeeping coaches, there might be other coaches on the pathway already that maybe want to move across to goalkeeping. There's that option,
I think there's definitely that option now, the way we've restructured our pathways. Yes, there's that kind of equivalency that we have now, that you can jump from one pathway to the other without needing to take steps backwards because of your kind of that recognition of prior learning. So yeah, absolutely. And I think that's an important one for the goalkeeping coaches as well, because I notice it even just taking my wee boys team, and you know, all of a sudden last week I had three kids out, the 26 or whatever, turning up with goalkeeping gloves on, because they've maybe got goalkeeping gloves for their Christmas. They've never played in goals in their life, but they've got a goalie, they quite fancy it, but I've got nobody at the club who can maybe, you know, that's went and done that a couple of days education, if you like, to pick up particular exercises or practices that, you know, we can just engage them in that fun activity. And that's what Fraser's now done quite well. So you come in and do the 1.1, as they will have done anyway if they're coaching.
Yeah.
But now they can take that wee sidestep and just have that little dabble and get enough.
Yeah, I think as it, from my own background and having come through that pathway, if you want to call it the older pathway, where it was a level one, if you haven't delivered that in the past, you get such a scope, a candidate on that course. It could be the coach of a team, it could be a parent of a kid, it could be anything, and yeah, it could be a goalkeeping coach. Absolutely, you do get that, but. And it just throws up so many discussion points on the course that they're maybe asking that. Look, I've only got myself, I've got 20 kids, how do I involve them? And that's where what we've tried to do with the course now hopefully tries to show people that here's ways you can integrate them into a passing drill, into a possession box, into, could you maybe just tweak that with shooting, and it all of a sudden becomes a better drill for them. And it's just opening that discussion line for them and letting them see it. And as Greg says, then somebody getting back to that youth club, boys club, can then have an input to that, you know, and a lot of the stuff. It's,
and that's the thing that Fraser spoke about. How do you include the goalkeeper more in a activity that maybe is all about passing or all about dribbling? You talked earlier about that kind of evolution of a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
They use their feet a hell of a lot more. So,
yeah.
I think in the past we probably used to exclude them, but let's include them but add to it as well.
Yeah.
To really enhance the young goalkeeper's experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think if you. You know, we've spoken it briefly about the modern game and what it asks and what you see, and it is, you know, more touches are now with the feet than they are with the hands, so you must replicate that. You've got to prepare young kids for that's what the game is telling us at this moment in time. So how do you best prepare them? And that can be the way of how you buy them into, we're doing this passing drill, here's how it might affect you. You need to know these things. You know, I've been out watching, and it's been great actually the last couple of weeks, a number of our young goalies out on loan, but when I'm doing my report and I come back in here, the majority of stuff's been ball at their feet, you know, their distribution, and they'll make saves, absolutely will make saves, but with the ball at their feet or crosses or whatever it may be, that's what's going to determine their career as a goalkeeper, because there's where the majority of their game's coming from. Can you be better in that area? And that's how do we build that from the young kid right through to, you know, these guys I've been out watching in the senior game.
So to coaches that are listening that are maybe early on their pathway at the moment, if you look right up to the top, UEFA A, you spoke about how you work back.
Yes.
Can they just expect, what can they expect from the top?
Yeah, it's funny how, when I first looked at it and Greg asked me, look, we're going to do this restructure, what do you think? And I, almost in a way of how we look at that course is all about take the whole thing and work back the way.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked at that and how to best put this together, because I think if you built it the other way, you get to a point and go, oh no, I've not even put that in yet. So we've kind of looked at going back the way and looked at, okay, what does the UEFA A ask? Right, we now know what that asks. We've went through four courses of that. We know what that course is. Okay, UEFA B, which is brand new, you know, last year it came in. It's been a pilot course. Hopefully it gets approved this year and we can roll that out. So we've now looked at, okay, what do they now need that best prepares them? So effectively, the UEFA B is there to ensure they get the process of the UEFA A.
Yeah.
So if I can enlighten just quickly on the process, UEFA A is about, can you analyse a bit of footage?
Yep.
And can you take that footage, what you've analysed, what you've looked at, how do you then implement that on the pitch to improve the goalkeeper? Now that can be on a reoccurring problem, or it can be on a future opponent.
Yeah.
So whatever you see in the footage, how can you improve the goalkeeper upon that area on the pitch? So what we've tried with UEFA B is, how do we just get that initial process nailed?
Yeah.
So can they analyse, can they session plan, and can they put, let's say, a technical practice in? Can you get those three bits? If they can nail those three bits, I think then they're well on their way to being ready for the UEFA A. And I think from my own experience, the UEFA A was a massive jump. You know, you've seen the course, Greg. If you've never worked that way, you go home the first night, brain scramble, going, oh my goodness, what have I done? What have I done? Where? How am I going to get through this next 18 months? How am I going to do this? How am I going to put this in? I've never worked like this. My club don't work like this. Where am I going to do this? And they're all the questions. And I know if you're speaking to other candidates, everybody thinks that way. And then all of a sudden you find yourself 6 months in, 10 months in, I'm grasping it, I'm all right. But I think the UEFA B now just plants that seed for them. Start to work this way, you'll be all right. So that's what the UEFA B is there to do. Can they get the process? And it was funny, me and Greg were speaking earlier today, and then they go on to the outfield B licence, which will give them the next part of the course. So I think it's so important on the UEFA B goalkeeping, we really zoom in on that analysing, planning, and the technical practice, because that's a bit, if you're a goalkeeping coach, that's the main part of your role. Because what you'll find is reality, you know, when players, outfield players start to come in, your role will become less within that with the players. So it is about how can you improve the goalkeeper in that area. If we then take that into the 1.3, it will just look at technical practices with some themes and working with a small group of players in a kind of functional practice. So it just gives you an experience of doing it. There's no analysing, there's no footage, it's just putting on practices relating to a theme that help you when it comes to the UEFA B practical side. Yeah. And the 1.2 is all the fundamentals of the position. And basically what should happen if you come through the pathway, the skills that you've learned or the techniques that you've learned from, let's take distribution for example, since we were speaking about it there, you know, where do you take your first touch, when you're passing, how to pass, where to pass, great, learn that. Then when you come on to the level 2, or sorry, 1.3, you'll then know about how do you then implement that within a game scenario. So how do the outfield players affect that whole decision making process? Fine, when it comes to UEFA B, you might speak about it as playing out, but the very basic point of it is still about passing, which you should have learned on 1.2. So now we should see those common trends come through. So that's the thought process of it. Hopefully it works. I think it's right. I think having come through the pathway myself as a coach and now as a tutor, I think what we've done is managed to plug the gaps where we've found them in terms of skill set, knowledge stuff, experience stuff. And
there was that big jump before.
It was, you know, to go for what was a level 2 straight to, I think it was MR licence. The UEFA B is not too far away from our old goalkeeping Scottish licence. Yeah. The analysis side's changed it a little bit. But to go for that to the, I know they did the outfield B, but to go straight into UEFA A was a big ask.
And the thing is as well, this is going to constantly evolve. As you say, when the game evolves, it's going to change, it's going to develop. It's about constantly learning and having that communication between people on the course, other people in world football, for example.
It's of course it isn't. I think, as Greg touched on earlier, we've now got, hopefully, that online resource that everything can be put on there and very quickly changed, and something new that if, you know, meeting with all the goalkeeping tutors on Sunday coming to have a big discussion on this, so then if you do see something, note there's easily, let's get it up and get it shown and let people see it, and if you feel it is best practice, our job's to show it. If it could implement maybe a change at the lower level courses, 1.2, 1.3, then why not use it? So I think it is so important that remains current, as well as there'll be fundamentals there that will never change about the position. And I think the biggest thing for me when I look at some of the candidates coming through is we need to give them all the tools. You know, they kind of come through our structure, hit the UEFA B, and then we're looking at them going, wait a minute, you know, the same way you'd look at a player. You know, if a player's been in an academy for so many years and they get to a crucial point and you go, what have they been doing for the last few years? I've not got this, I've not got that. They should have it because we've put the course on. So that's then a demand we need to ask of our tutors, as well as the coaches who come on it, to be open, to take the things in, to go and work. I know, I've been speaking with Paddy Bonner recently, his UEFA's big thing just now is this, what you've learned in a course, how many coaches actually go back to the club and implement something, or how many just do the course, that's great, thanks for that, really enjoyed it, and it changes nothing. So how do we affect what actually happens back at a club? And I think that's the challenge we set ourselves as tutors. You know, how can you affect that change at a club? If we feel this is a way football's going and you need to work, then you need to get people to buy into it. Otherwise, there's no point in preaching it, and it just falls away.
That is a huge challenge, isn't it? From not just goalkeeping, but across the board, and making sure that translates back to clubs.
For coach education, it is, absolutely. It's a huge, because people will always have a difference of opinion on the, perhaps the way they want to play. And I think, let's be honest, coach education is adult education. You know, and so we have got to, and sometimes, you know, as much as Fraser's saying, yes, we put curriculums together, I don't think it can be lost on is that sometimes the best learning comes from within the room. It doesn't necessarily come from the tutor. I think that was a kind of older style, again, thinking of what coach education was, where it was just sitting down and getting a lecture. But I think this kind of more modern way that we're trying to get through is about facilitating a table discussion, if you like, and then bringing that to the wider audience in the group, and you know that learning coming from the participants. You know, and if you think that, you know, once you get to a UEFA B license, perhaps everybody might have an average of, I quite often ask people to stick their hands up, who's got a, and it quite often becomes, it's about an average of 7 years experience by the time you get to a B license. You know, if you've got 20 people in a room doing that B license course, there's 140 years experience that you've got to draw on, you've got to listen to opinion and form that opinion to then take forward onto the pitch, and then of course you can discuss things. So it's no longer about, let's see you put on a session and then let's debrief that session. And even that, you know, it's okay, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
So what's the thought process behind it? As Fraser's explained, go and deliver it and then have that debrief session as well that we can all discuss. And, well, I wouldn't do that at my club, but why would you not do it at your club?
Yeah.
Because I've only got half a pitch. Okay, there's a good reason. You know, and it just generates conversation from that and learning.
Yeah. When I look back in my experience of doing the UEFA A, and I actually always, I think it's, for any coaches out there that want to know about the course, it is so, in my view, so structured towards the current role that goalkeeping coaches are asked of in Scotland anyway, that it's day to day, that's what you go through. And I found, even I've come into this role now, the amount of times I refer back to my notes from that course, because I think there was a discussion on that, and I'll go back to it and just see, you know, let's pluck, there was like Paul Gerrard, Tony Kaye, guys like this were on that course. He mentioned something when he was at Doncaster about that, and you go back, and that's where I found all my... Yeah. Don't get me wrong, the content and everything is all there, but when it got to those crucial points, you were taking that, I quite like that idea, I'll write that down. And I found myself more and more going back to my notes as such, and or phoning somebody that was on the course and asking
about building those relationships between fellow participants as well. Yeah,
because you're providing them with one thing, but you're also putting them on a platform together to sponge off one another. I feel like that's part of the game, isn't it, and how we develop really at the end of the day. So I guess, it is overall not just a massive year, but a massive change, and there's going to be a lot to come, and there might be, for you guys particularly, daunting thoughts ahead with all this work on your plate. But for the coaches looking at it, this is really going to cater to the demands and needs that they have, you would hope.
You would hope so. And as Fraser mentioned earlier, I think it's about us as coach education in general, trying to provide them with a decent base and a decent platform to then go and specialise, even if specialise, you could argue, might be the wrong word, because they might only be working with 8-year-old kids, or even, I keep saying this, we keep talking about kids, but it could be an adult team. You know, it's important that, you know, there's those grassroots levels of the game where fun and enjoyment is still at the heart of it, whether you're working with, in the female game, whether you're working with kids, whether you're working with adults or youth. So, you know, that base, as I've talked about quite often, that base that allows us to get the hows and the whys, and then we start looking at the what. Well, what are we coaching now? What are we coaching, and allowing the expert, if they are that, in goalkeeping or futsal and working with children and working with youths, to then really hone in on those specific game-related activities. I'm talking about game-related activities here. Fraser used that analogy quite well. That UEFA set out 12 years ago, perhaps, maybe not that long, about their UEFA goalkeeping A license, maybe 10.
Was it 2010?
Aye, so 10 years ago now.
I think
2010. And working back from that, and that's the game. Mm-hmm. That's the game. You know, the 4v4, you know, the 6-year-old kids will play around the country this weekend. The 4v4 game works back from the 11v11 game. Yeah. They then go to fives, they then go to sevens and nines and 11s. So everything works back from that Champions League game, that international match that we watch. So it's a good analogy, as I've said, for Fraser to work back from that and peel everything back. And I've spoke before about other guys like Jamie Robinson in England. When they set up their youth licence, he worked back from David Beckham. What traits and qualities did David Beckham have, and how do we get that trait and quality in all our youth players? And, you know, and it's about trying to structure that through Coach Ed.
You've got to look at the course, and you've got to look at, okay, people coming on that course, where are the majority working? Yeah. So as Greg's mentioning there, then us understanding, okay, what is it a young goalie's going to be asked of within, you know, four, the fun fours is there. So then it becomes that transition into fives. And I think the kind of the wording that we've used, I think working with the guys in football development, there now becomes that kind of backy player that can he can use his feet, he can stop it. So there's all, that's the wee kind of start of it happening there. Okay, that transition from fives to sevens, where there then becomes that designated you are the team's goalie. So they're the kind of coaches or parents or whoever's coming on these 1.2 courses, right? How do we then cater for them? You know, so that we can talk them through that transition, what the goalie might go through, maybe what wee things you maybe need to look for that can tell you that kid might be good at that certain position, whatever that may be. or our thinking behind it, and here's the benefits of doing it, and it just takes away maybe sometimes the fears of you were talking earlier, I've not got a goalie, my team going to fives, and who doesn't it matter, because it's, you know,
I don't think the principles don't necessarily change. Fraser, one minute they're a backy, 2 seasons later they might be a goalie,
yeah,
or have a dabble at being a goalie, and then 2 seasons later again they want to be a goalie. You know, the principles don't necessarily change. I think it's about the level of probably detail,
yeah,
reflected in our coach education pathway that the coach then needs to impart on that backy slash goalie, whatever stage, yeah, they're at in the development.
Listen, it goes back to what's important at the end. You've hit the nail on the head. It's fun and it's enjoyment. Give them that. Give them that. And as you come up the coaching levels, as they go up, the kids going through their pathway, then when it comes to the 1.3, right, we'll now give you the right structure that's needed, exactly, there. Because, yeah, that's where they'll need it at the kids' age. They'll need it. Or even, you know, if a guy's on the 1.3 who might work with an amateur team or junior team,
yeah,
what they'll get in the 1.3 is, believe me, having played in that myself, it's all you need, because you're dealing with guys that just need a bit of hard work, a wee, yeah, bit of structure in their session, and on you go. And they'll get that from that. You know, and it's the same as the ones that maybe want to continue, they'll get, yeah, what they need at that point. Great, love that, I'm now moving on to the next bit. And, yeah, but you're still catering for, you know, the guy who's maybe working with Bonnie Rig Rose 13s or something, go, that's all I need, that's as, yep, far as I want to go in the, perfect, pathway, you've gave me what I need, thanks very much. And that's, we've got to cater for everybody like that. Yeah,
football for all at the end,
absolutely,
of the day.
Absolutely.
Gents, we could keep going. I know we could, there's plenty that we can dive into, I'm sure, another point later, once we see how this continues to grow, yeah, and develop across the year, Fraser. But in the meantime, it's been a pleasure scratching the surface of this with you both.
Scratching the surface, indeed.
So, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That's all we have time for in this week's edition of the Scottish Football Coaching Podcast. Feel free to send us your feedback, your ideas for coaching topics you want us to cover, and to get in touch, visit @ScottishFA on Twitter or email info@scottishfa.co.uk.